Anyhow, Wednesday night, good to be in the house of the Lord again. Great to have our visitor and anybody else on live stream that's visiting. We're so grateful for you and for everybody. Revelation Road, we have been marching along. I think this is number 60. Yeah, we're on number 60. So we got a ways to go before we finish up. So I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope you're learning something. And I really hope it challenges you. Because if you're stuck in your theology and you're stuck in knowing it all, that's a dangerous place to be. Especially for preachers. Preachers got to learn how to be flexible and listen to the Lord and see what God is saying and not trust denominations and quarterly magazines and theologians of the past. You have to see what the Lord is saying currently to our life. So I hope that these teachings are taking you out of that rut, if you will, of ritual understanding and teaching and looking at something new. Last time we got together, we were in Revelation chapter 12, and I want to go back to that, give you a quick shotgun highlight, and then we're going to get into Revelation chapter 13. So let's go to verse 1, and we'll skip through it pretty fast, if that's okay tonight. And there appeared a great wonder. Remember, that was a mega sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So we already established this. This is talking about Israel. There's no doubt about it. It is not talking about the Virgin Mary. It's not talking about some celestial star formation or something like that, or the church and the 12 apostles. This is speaking prophetically to us, historically, yes, but it's also prophetically letting us know that the center of what God is doing with the gospel happened to do and be with Israel. That's the central mechanism, if you will, of bringing forth the Lord Jesus. We know that. He came from there. He came from the Jewish lineage, son of David, and on it goes. So we know that. So why people take and cut and paste and put it into their own theology is beyond me when the Bible explains itself. And I gave you the scriptures, Genesis, I believe, 37. You can go back and look at that. So we're not going to go over that again. Verse 2. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Of course, we know again, Israel has been in so much pain. The Jews have been in so much pain. There's been so much struggle. There's been so many attempts to annihilate them, even way back when they were just being formed. And they were fleeing Egypt and living in Egypt. And all of the battles against the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Termites. Remember, don't forget the termites, all those ites. They had to fight all those people. Okay, so Lord kept them, right? Let's go on, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder. Notice how the first wonder was a great wonder, megas, meaning that's the center of what we're talking about. And then it's like John just says, oh yeah, and there's another wonder. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head. So we're going to go over that. That was talking about dominion and power. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Was Jesus' life at risk from birth? Absolutely. Was his life at risk throughout the entire lifetime? Absolutely. Did his life end in death? Yeah, he was murdered. He was assassinated. But he rose from the dead. Come on, somebody. He rose from the dead. So, yeah, he was always, they were always after him. Okay, next verse. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. So we know that. We know it talks about Jesus. Next verse. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared for God. So let's stop right there. And let's go back into our teachings. We know this is now fast forwarding. So he speaks. Remember, John is a teacher, he's a pastor, so he speaks historical value in historical ways to give evidence of what had happened, and then he fast forwards it into the future, and he's seeing what? He's seeing the 3.5 years at the end, the 3.5 years, when they have to flee. Why? Because Israel is going to be persecuted beyond measure. They're going to be persecuted beyond reason, and guess what? So will we. We'll talk about that tonight some more. Next verse. And there was war where? in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. What a battle that's going to be. And prevailed not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven. So we know this is all happening simultaneously, that the devil is going to be cast out of heaven. How? By Michael in a war. Okay, so we're at the 3.5 years. We're right at the time of the abomination that's going to cause desolation in Jerusalem. The middle part of Daniel's 70th week, okay? So the 7 years. So watch this. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. You ever been, somebody cuss you out and they give you all the names you are? Come on, somebody. They just don't say, you son of a gun. They go, doo ba doo ba doo ba doo ba doo, and you're like, oh, thanks. My reputation precedes me. So they give them all these names. Look, God's like, look, I want you to know who this is. The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, talking about what? The serpent in the garden, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, the power of our Christ, for the accuser of the brothers cast down, which accused them before God day and night. So what happens? He's cast down. Now hell basically is on earth. Hell is basically on earth. So now, I'll shorten this down so we go into tonight. We see the abomination that causes desolation at the middle part of the 7 years, or the 70th week of Daniel. He's cast down. He's absolute anger. The King James calls it wrath. I think that's a pretty powerful way of saying he's mad. So he's wrath. He's really angry. Why? Because he no longer can go into the heavenlies where God is and accuse the brethren, as it says, day and night. So now he's cast down to this toilet bowl. Let me try that again. He's cast down to this toilet bowl if you compare heaven and earth. The devil doesn't want the earth. In fact, the devil already has the earth in his possession because Adam and Eve lost it. They lost the rights, the deeds to it. Jesus came and got it back, but the transfer of power doesn't happen until he returns the second time. So that's why the whole world lies under what? The evil one. We're under the evil one right now, the god of the atmosphere, the god of the air. That's why all this wickedness happens. And we say, where's God in it all? Well, God comes when you pray and you intercede. If you don't intercede, God doesn't want to intervene. And then there's times like with Daniel. Remember, Daniel prayed, but his prayers were upheld. Remember that? They had to fight through that third heaven to get the answer to earth. So I'm teaching you a lot there that's extra, but it's the way that it is. But now everything flips. He's cast out of that place. He's evicted. The devil always wanted the throne. Remember that? I taught you that last time. He always wanted the throne. He always wanted heaven. He always wanted to see God removed out of that place. And now he's banned. He cannot go back. He's in the same position in what he did to Adam and Eve. Remember the fiery swords of the cherubim at the eastern part of the garden? Guess what? They couldn't go back in, could they? That's what's going to happen to him. It's going to be like God's going to be smack him and say, see? what you sow, you reap. Even the devil's got to. Now he's mad as H-E double hockey sticks. Somebody interpret that later. So go on to like the last two verses if you would. We're just going to fast forward. Can you do that? And when the dragon saw that he was cast out to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Okay, so who's he going against? Persecuted. He's going against Israel, right? We've already showed you that's what's going to happen. Jesus already said it would happen in Matthew chapter 24. Right? So we're all on the same page. Chapter 12 is not necessarily a parenthetical chapter. It's a teaching chapter. It's like I told you, for the next couple chapters, it's going to be, like government papers are redacted. The information is blocked out. And you don't get to see what it is. Well, this is where you get to fill in the blanks. Okay, for Revelation 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, as it goes. Okay, next verse. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. That is not America. That is not America. Okay, that's not happening. That she might fly into the wilderness. So we talked about that. Go to the last verse, please, of the chapter. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Who's that? Us, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, is that it on that? Right, so that's it. So basically, in a nutshell, he's given us this understanding. John is teaching this to us so we can see us in a clear way. So Revelation chapter 13, let's go there real quick. Now, John is still teaching us through the Holy Spirit and through the Father. He's still teaching us in this chapter. Okay? Kind of write this down in your notes. Chapter 12 on to chapter 14 are kind of like history lessons. They're interjections. They're history lessons. And again, John being a phenomenal teacher and pastor, he's writing in his mannerism. Okay? Remember, every book in the Bible has an author. The author and the finisher of it all is who? God, right? The Lord Jesus. But he also uses the penmanship and the language of each author. So they write differently. That's why the Gospels have a different tinge, because every author wrote differently to a different culture at a different time frame, but all are perfectly coordinated, okay, that make the Bible. So it's interesting. So please, when you hear these things, understand how John is trying to teach, okay? Also, I wrote this down in my notes for you to have. We get a break in the action between chapter 12 and chapter 14. We get a break in the action to understand the action. That's what this is. It's a break in the action to understand the action so that you can have a clear understanding of what's taking place. The problem with this here, of this type of teaching, not from me, but from our historical pastors, historical people, even modern day people, is they self-interpret what they think it means. And that's where you have to be careful. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. If you don't get it, zip the mouth. If it don't connect, don't try to make it connect. Don't try to tell me what the 13 eyeballs and 6 ears and 2 toes and 1 crooked nose means, when you don't know, because the Bible didn't tell you. Okay? That's why we're in such trouble today with the whole jab and all that. And I'm going to go over some of that tonight. We're in trouble as a church because we're insulting the Father and the authenticity and the purity of the Word by trying to make it what we want it to be. The Bible's not your Lego set where you put it together and snap it like you want it. You have to let it be line upon line, precept upon precept, okay? All right, so verse 1, let's look at that together. Let's go. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. So basically, he was at the edge, is what it means in the Greek. He was basically on the beach, if you will. And he saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, the word beast there in the Greek means venomous beasts. This isn't Tom the house cat. Hello, kitty. This is a venomous beast, is what it means. If you look it up, it's a very, very dangerous beast. It also means wild beast that comes up out of the sea. Now, what is a sea? Usually, in Bible terminologies, when you see the word sea, it talks about humanity. It talks about the earth. It talks about people population. So out of the earth, out of the sea, out of the people, will come this venomous beast, okay? So he's on the edge of it, and he sees this, and this beast is a person. This beast is a person. This is not an animal. This is a literal person out of the sea of humanity. Okay? What is it saying? It's telling us that out from among us is going to come this person. Some people say, well, they're going to come from Saturn, it's going to be an alien or whatever. They're going to be demon-possessed, as we're going to see later on. We're talking about the Antichrist. But it's going to come out from among us. Years ago, the Lord told me this. He said, if you act like an alien, no one's ever going to accept you. And he was sharing that with me about gospel preaching and evangelizing. You know, if you come in there, nanu, nanu, you know, in some type of weird codes and stuff, you know, trying to quote scripture, people don't get it. But hey, if you hand them some food and if you love on them and tell them, hey man, Jesus loves you, you share the gospel with them, guess what? You got their heart. Right. Is that right? But if you come as some, you know, weirdo, it's not going to happen. So in other words, this beast, this Antichrist that we're going to see here, doesn't come in some wicked, wild way that's going to freak people out. Listen to me. Because the devil operates as what? An angel of light. Nobody accepts an alien into their lives like that. So I want you to paint this picture with me. What is coming is a person that is going to be so attractive, but it's going to be so dangerous. Sounds like some of y'all's exes. All right, watch this. So John stood upon the beach, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Okay, you look at that and you're like, what in the world is he talking about? Let's go over that, all right? So we have the 7 heads and 10 horns. The 7 heads represent 7 world powers. The 7 world powers, or the seven seas, if you will, the ability to reign over the earth. The 10 horns are the number of completion and order, okay? In numerology, biblical numerology, it means completion. It means power, and it's talking about that fulfillment of that, of a complete confederacy, okay? The 10 crowns are 10 other rulers, and I'll make all sense about this in just a minute. 10 crowns represents 10 rulers, or a federation. What you're going to see is the Antichrist will rise to power through these confederacies, through these federation of these other nations, as they begin to circle and finally attack Jerusalem. They're going to invade Jerusalem. That is why when you see the temple being measured, remember we read about the temple being measured? Revelation chapter 11, is that right? And a piece of it was not measured for who? The Gentiles? So that they can, what? Tread upon it? That means that they're going to occupy. So this is a precursor to the Battle of Armageddon. That's how the Antichrist comes into his power. So this confederation of 10 nations is basically going to be an Islamic type of army. Why do you think we have a vacuum now in Afghanistan? These are all precursors setting up for this to take place. Okay? It's all happening before us just as we sit here and we breathe. Okay? They are tied into the beast system or the Antichrist system. How do I know that? Because the names of blasphemies. That is going to be one of the characteristics of the Antichrist system, is to blaspheme God, is to cuss God, to curse God, to destroy anything and everything that represents Christianity, represents Jewish tradition, represents anything that has to do with creation, the cross, anything to do with it. Why? Because he's mad as, and he's going to get his licks in, if you will. He's going to get in his ability to try to destroy everything that God has created. Okay? So imagine that. They're going to surround and eventually they're going to overtake Jerusalem. Okay? So let's now see this on a different picture and a little more clear, because John, again, he's a teacher, so he's going to show it to you. Everybody see it so far? So they have the names of blasphemy. And I want you to think about who this coalition of people can be. All right, next verse. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. You ready? He was likened to a leopard. What is a leopard? A leopard is bloodthirsty. Is that right? A leopard is bloodthirsty. And what else does he do? He kills, right? He kills. So he's given us symbolism, prophetic symbolism of what this particular federation is, what this spirit of Antichrist system is, okay? This is why you have to be so careful, again, with your internet wizards out there. It has nothing to do with Democrats. It has nothing to do with Republicans, even though they may have their part and portion. This is a Middle Eastern thing that will have a global effect. Remember, it began where in the Middle East? It will end in the Middle East. It doesn't end in Manhattan. It ends in the Middle East. And everybody gets sucked into this vortex. That's why when somebody sneezes in Iran, Come on. If something happens and the oil prices freak out, stock market in America gets shaken every time something happens between Israel and Iran or Syria or whatever, Turkey, the world trembles. Is that right?
That's right.
The Bible is very specific about it. It's a trembling cup. Okay? God designed it that way. So follow me with this. Pay close attention so you don't lose what I'm saying here. So it's similar. Remember, it says likened to. I want you to see that again. Likened to. It's not a leopard. When you see terminology likened to, and then you see the Christian revelation artist and they try to draw it, okay, that's cool. That gives you a little bit of conception of what it is. But it's not. It's likened to. So you take the symbolism, what's a leopard like? He's bloodthirsty. I wouldn't own a leopard as a pet. Maybe Mark would. I don't know what they do in Bowersville. But, I wouldn't, unless you took his teeth out, I guess, and had a long chain. But you know what I'm saying. As far as out in the field, no, I don't think I'd have a leopard. And its feet was like the feet of what? A bear. What does a bear do? It crushes. A bear crushes, it mauls. Is that right? So we have a bloodthirsty leopard, we have a bear that crushes, it mauls. So far, this is not a very friendly system, is it? Sounds like dominion, doesn't it? Sounds like being dominant. Sounds like a caliphate, in which I'll share more in just a minute. Okay? So it's so far we got a system that is bloodthirsty and it crushes. It has the mouth of what? A lion. Why a lion? Because a lion roars. And when a lion makes noises, everybody listens. How come it is that, let me give you a real good illustration so you can see where I'm coming from. If the Ugandan army invades a village and has a little battle, a little civil war going on, it doesn't make a lot of headlines. Maybe in the BBC and the French news and things like that. It matters in regional things. But let ISIS do something. Let ISIS do something. Let something happen in Jerusalem. Let something happen in that region and everybody's up in arms. It's continuous loops. You're watching the bombing. You're watching the ambulances, right? It's a big deal. Well, why is that? Because when a lion makes a sound, everybody pays attention to it. So you're following me so far? And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. So this is where we're getting into some really interesting stuff. So now we have this beast, this venomous, dangerous, wild beast who gets a confederation of military powers and nations together to come in to invade Jerusalem, to occupy that part of Jerusalem, to occupy the place of the Gentiles. Remember that, as we spoke on that earlier. And this system is bloodthirsty. It crushes, it mauls, and it's the loudest of them all. That's the Antichrist system that's coming. That is what's coming to the earth. It's being developed now. We're watching it. But the fulfillment and the totality of it doesn't happen until the abomination that causes desolation. You see, this is why in the beginning Israel falls into the deception and signs the peace treaty, right? The beginning of Daniel's 70th week, they make a covenant and they build the temple. And there's relative peace for the first 3.5 years. Still will be troubles, still will be judgment, still be the wrath of the Lamb, all those things we talked about, the trumpets, these things will still be happening, but the Antichrist will still be masked, if you will. He still will kind of be unknown, except to us who have discernment and we can read the Bible. Most of the world is going to think this is the Messiah. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. They're absolutely going to be in awe and at peace because now, look, man, this pestilence and disease is basically being wiped off the earth. Wars are starting to, you know, kind of calm down. He can negotiate. He can do all this stuff. And that's just a thimble of what he's able to do, which I'm going to make clear in a minute. And so he builds this coalition to finally snap and do what they've always wanted to do, and that's take Jerusalem. They couldn't kill Jesus in the womb, and they couldn't kill him outside of the womb. So the devil, in his insanity, is going to try to go to Jerusalem to cut him off. That ain't very smart. And he knows this book better than you and I, and he still tries to do this. That's insane. I'm telling you what it is. And the dragon gave his power. So who did he give his power to? The son of perdition, the Antichrist. He gave that beast, this man who came out of the sea, he came out of the people, he came out of the population of the earth, and he gave him his power. This is the devil incarnate. This is the devil personified. This is the devil walking in earthly flesh. Do you see that? This is going to, the Antichrist, when he is possessed completely, he will be beyond anything you can ever imagine. You can take Hitler, Mussolini, Pol Pot. You can take pharaohs. You can take Jack the Ripper, whoever. You can put all of these tyrants, anybody you've ever thought of evil. When you think of evil, what picture do you come up with? And put that together and just build an evil person, and that can't compare. Can't compare. Can't compare to the millions that Stalin and Lenin and others have been a part of. And Fidel, what he has done in Cuba, and on, it doesn't compare. This is going to be the devil in the flesh, because he gives him his power, his seat, and his great authority. This is heavy Chevy, isn't it? It is very heavy Chevy. So for a minute, he gives him this power, right? So think of any authoritative dictatorship you want. Can't compare. Now I want to present this question to you. As we're teaching this, so your mind can think the way I'm teaching. Think, what type of religion, government, or entity is this describing? I mean, this is not a trick question, so you don't have to answer it and think you're going to get it wrong. I'm just laying this out there to you. What type of religion, government, or entity is this describing? Everything I just described to you. Are they talking about the Mormons? Nah, I don't think so. I don't think they're riding bikes in the Middle East, throwing bombs. Is it the Amish? Maybe this is the Amish throwing pies. They can throw a pie at me because I love their cooking. Maybe he's talking about the Bahamian government. All of a sudden the Bahamian government rises up and they... No. Okay, I'm trying you real hard. How about the Boy Scouts? They're fierce as a leopard, crushed like a bear. Islam. This is Islam. This is a coalition of Islamic states getting together to finally destroy Israel, to finally annihilate them under the cause of the Antichrist. Under the banner of the Antichrist, he can sell them a bill of sales. He can tell whatever. He can tell them it's for this reason. It doesn't matter. The end goal is to try to take the temple from Jesus, to take his city, to stop him from coming. That's why, and I'm getting ahead of myself, all the armies of the world turn during Armageddon towards heaven to fight against Christ. Yeah. And he smites them with his mouth. Is that what it says? Absolutely. So, you're watching this thing take place. So every time there's something happening in the Middle East, yeah, I think we should pay attention. Especially with Afghanistan. That is a very big void, and we left a lot of money and a lot of military equipment there that will probably, most undoubtedly, be used in the siege of Jerusalem. No doubt about it. Okay? So here we go. The devil gave him his power. The devil gave him his power. So think about how wicked the earth is today and how many things have happened over centuries and over our lifetimes and the lifetime of the earth. The devil gives this to this individual, and he operates through him. He gives him his power. Why? Because now he's on the earth. Listen, legally the devil can't operate without operating through flesh. I don't have time to go into the book of Genesis, but people don't understand spiritual warfare. God can't do anything outside of flesh. He cannot. He made, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 into 16, he made an agreement. He talked about how that enmity would come. He talked about the seed of the woman. He talked about warfare and that it would have to come through that way. So the enemy has to do it the same way. That's why he demonizes a person, possesses them, and they kill everybody in the room. Help me, somebody. Or drink all night long and run the car into people, or what have you. And this is why we get on our knees and we pray, we intercede and ask God to do something, then God intervenes. He doesn't do it. He doesn't do things without human intervention. He does not. He does it. That's why the heathen and the pagans get mad at God, because they say, "Where were you? Why didn't you?" And God responds and says, "I was always ready, but nobody asked me. Right. Nobody prayed. Did you pray for me to protect your family?" See, that's too big for us, and that casts responsibility on us, and we don't like that. We don't want to be responsible because we're irresponsible by nature. Yeah, it's good teaching anyways. I'm not getting any help, but it's okay. And I'm talking to myself. And you have to learn to become responsible, dependent upon Him. And so here it is. The devil gives him this authority. He gives him this power because he knows what? His time is short. He's mad. He's on earth. His time is short. So he does. What are you watching right here? You are watching the same story of the birth, the life, and the death of Christ. You're looking at the same carbon copy, but it's a counterfeit. You have the Antichrist rising up out of the sea, a birthing, if you will. You have him being possessed by the devil. Jesus was what? God, all of God. Wasn't he? God in the flesh. God manifest. The Word made flesh, dwelt among us. And so we're watching this. It's a counterfeit. Now, I'm telling you this for reasons. I'm setting you up for this whole thing to see how amazing this is going to be on the earth. So the same transfer of power like was given to Jesus. Remember? Jesus said, "All authority, all power has been given unto me." What did it say right there? Satan just gave him his power. His seat is authority. Megas authority. Mega power. Mega authority. Okay, the word power there deals with the seat or the throne. And great authority represents jurisdiction or liberty and weight. Now watch this. God basically, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but basically God does this. Because God is fair in every way. He's fair in warfare. He's fair in anything you can imagine. He's completely fair. Jesus had how long on the earth to manifest his ministry? 3.5 years. How long does the devil get to manifest his ministry on the earth? 3.5 years. In the fullness of it, through the Antichrist. Is that fair? God said, "That's fair. Go ahead, let's see what you got." "My son changed the world in eternity in 3.5 years. Let's see what your punk can do." But because God, again, going back to Genesis chapter 3, set up spiritual principles and spiritual warfare that cannot be negated, the devil has to follow the same pattern. So God says to Satan, "Go ahead, give him your power." And that's what happened. So for the last 3.5 years, it is absolutely, totally chaotic, because not only do you have the judgments, but you also have the wrath of the devil. And he has no limits. He has no limits concerning what he's doing on the earth, except for what God tells him he can and cannot do. This is heavy. This is what I'm telling you. When this comes down and you're worried about COVID and you're worried about this, this is nothing. And I'm not belittling any of it, because we have so many suffering people. I'm not belittling. I'm just trying to make the body of Christ get a bigger backbone and a little thicker skin. To realize that when we hit this thing running, there better be a transfer of us inside. There better be some faith inside of us, because we haven't seen anything. The world hasn't seen anything yet. Is this okay? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you're drooling or you're, I don't know what's going on here. So we have an unholy example. I know it's a lot of information. It's an unholy example of Jesus having the fullness of God. This is the devil incarnate personified. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 21, 25 through 27. I've got that down in my notes. Let me look at that real quick. Luke 21 through, Luke chapter 21, 25 through 27. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations, perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. Next verse. And men's hearts failing them for fear, looking for after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be what? Shaken. Next verse. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory. So he's telling us in those last days, in those last 3.5 years, the whole world is going to be shaken. And there is going to be tremendous fear upon the earth. Why? Because the devil is loose. Think about it again. It's hard to conceive this. Think how bad it is now. Think how bad it is, has been in history, and then try to multiply that in the coming days. You're unable to do it. You're unable to totally fathom what's going to happen. But it talks about calamity, the seas and the waves roaring. Okay? So when the devil, verse 1, arrives, all hell breaks loose, if you will. The sea and the waves roaring. Just everything's in turmoil. Think with me, turmoil, chaos. Right now it's bad, but we're kind of in a bathtub. The waves aren't that bad to what is coming, okay? I hope that makes sense to you. He comes up out of perplexities of humanity. So again, going back to the 7 years and the peace treaty, the devil actually rises up through the Antichrist, the son of perdition. He rises up out of the perplexities of humanity. He rises up out of our diseases. He rises up out of our wars, our financial collapse. He rises up with answers to bring a facade, to bring a false peace. Okay? Everybody see that? You can look up Daniel 7, 1 through 9 and 15 through 28. I'm out of time to do that in order to finish what I want to finish. So Daniel 7, 1 through 9, 15 through 28 of Daniel chapter 7. Okay? Could you go back to Revelation 13 there? All right, so let's see. Go to the next verse. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So let me go back to the four kingdoms. Represents the kingdoms or the four kingdoms that are being part of the Antichrist. The little horn rises up. You're going to find that in Daniel chapter 7. So I kind of omitted that because I didn't have time to read it. But basically, the little horn rises up. That is speaking of the Antichrist. He rises up, the fourth kingdom, if you will, the fourth Reich, rises up. That's why a lot of people look at Hitler and they say, you know, he was a type and shadow of the Antichrist. Not too bad, right? It's a pretty good description, but it's going to be way worse than that. Verse 3 now, it speaks of a deadly blow. Now, there's people out there in cyber world that'll tell you they got the answer. They know what it is. It's a nation that falls, and then a nation rises up, and this and that and this and that. All I can tell you is what the Bible says. I'm going to teach it from that perspective. I'm not going to guess a mite. I'm not going to guess a mite and try to throw something out there. I'm going to just tell you what the Bible says. Okay? It literally is death. It is literally death. Somehow he is killed. Somehow this Antichrist, this little horn, is assassinated. Okay, and we'll prove it in just a minute. One of the best ways I can prove to you is, again, this is a copy of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Remember I told you earlier, the birth, the life, the death. It's the whole carbon copy of what Jesus went through. Now you're going to catch this here, and I got plenty of time to do it. Watch this. All right? It says that his head was wounded, one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The word there, to be wounded, means to be butchered. To be butchered. You don't butcher nations. You butcher meat. You butcher a person. So it's a type of slaughter. So we know, again, to have the death, the burial, resurrection copy of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know this individual has to be assassinated, murdered, somehow receive a deadly wound to the head. Okay? Don't have time to go into the Capitol Dome, the rotunda in Washington, D.C., underneath the Capitol there. They already have a room ready for... it's just too much information to give right here on a Wednesday night, but it's all ready for the ascension of the Antichrist and all that stuff. It's there. So I have to digress from that and say, I don't believe it's speaking of a particular nation. I believe it's speaking of the person to fit what is happening. Why? Because look what happens here. And all the world wondered after the beast. Why would I care if a nation goes through battle and rises up again? That's not going to make me wonder. If you saw someone raised from the dead on television, would that make you wonder? Would you not be astonished by it? You watch JFK's head explode. I don't mean to be graphic, but that's our history, right? That's all we have. I've watched it probably 1,000 times. Maybe you have too, trying to find clues. But if all of a sudden he appeared on television 20 minutes later or whatever, would you not go, oh my gosh, this is a god? Right. Something's up here. Okay, so you're getting my picture here. So we know that that's probably the scenario it's going to be. Somebody says, well, you can't be dogmatic. Well, I can't be. I'm just reading you what the Bible says and giving you what the Greek says, and that's what I believe. Now, I'll show you a little further. Go to the next verse. And they worshiped the dragon, and they worshiped the dragon which gave the power unto the beast. Why would you worship the dragon who gave the power unto the beast? Why would you worship Satan if a nation was restored? You would worship Satan because the power that was given unto the Antichrist came from him, and he rose from the dead in front of everybody. And the word worship there, you ready for this? The word worship there is the word that is used for a dog licking a master's hands in adoration. It's worship. The world wonders and worships Satan because, watch this, they see a death and a resurrection. The world witnesses it. Listen, we share the greatest story ever, ever in the world of Jesus Christ. I've never seen him outside of this word. I wasn't at Golgotha. I wasn't at Calvary. I wasn't there when he rose from the dead. But I believe, because by faith I believe, and by the confession of my tongue, I am born again. And I believe this. And I will lay my dying head upon this word and be resurrected in the power and the likeness of Jesus, because I believe. How many people do not believe this book, but if they saw it on television, they'd believe it? Can you see the deception? And God says, I will give them over to a great delusion. The great delusion is not just some alien invasion that I believe there's going to be entities and all these things coming on the earth. I believe all that. But it is a great delusion that men would believe a lie. I can't get people to believe this Bible. But if they saw it on TV, they'd believe it. Come on now. Look at the infomercials. How many times you got robbed by an infomercial? As seen on TV, 1999. You get it home and it breaks. But it's on TV. It had to work, right? Okay, so I'm being a little funny, but it's true. Which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Oh, you Christians, oh, you got us a Bible. Oh, you got a story. Cookies and milk and a puppet. You got puppets in your Sunday school class. I saw him. He was shot. Think about it. I'm being a little dramatic, but think about it. Loop after loop, 24 hours, CNN, whoever, 24 hours. Bam, 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 bam. Raised from the dead, raised from the dead, raised from the dead, raised from the dead. Wow. Wow, what a day. What a day. But I'm going to tell you something. God's got an answer for that, and that's the church. He's got an answer for that. It's called resurrection power. We'll raise the dead too. But I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen to the world. And God's allowing it. He's allowing it to happen. And who was able to make war with him? Why would any country come against the Antichrist? The little horn. You can't beat death and come back to life. Houdini tried. Anybody studied Houdini? He tried, and they tried to raise him from the dead when he was dead. He's still dead. In fact, they gave up. I watched a documentary, the last recording, where they did a seance, his wife, and then they tried to bring him up. They said, okay, we figured it out. You're not coming back. This is the last time we're trying to call you. It's true. And they gave up. I was like, yeah, you should have gave up day one. You shouldn't even tried. Okay, next verse. He thought he was going to beat death. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. So watch this. And blasphemies and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So all right here. Oh, I got to go, man. All right here. When the abomination that causes desolation. The enemies come into Jerusalem. The two witnesses are preaching. The church is preaching. The Antichrist is assassinated. He rises up. And when he rises up, he's filled with the devil. He's filled with that power. And the world wonders at him. And he speaks great things. Yeah, and blasphemies, because now he's got a voice. Yeah. Right? And the power was given to continue 42 months. So for the next 3.5 years, he's operating in devilish, demonic, hell on earth power. Mm-hmm. Now this is only one side of the coin. I can't give you both sides because the way we're teaching is one-sided here. But you got to believe something. I'm going to leave you with good news. The church is going to be doing signs and wonders and miracles. You better believe that. As I taught in Revelation chapter 11 and other places, we're going to see the glory of God. But on this side of the coin, you got to understand, it is going to be absolutely horrible. That's why I tell you, church, and I tell Christians, yeah, it's bad, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Not to quote Bachman Turner Overdrive, but you ain't seen nothing yet. BTO, some Mark, you know BTO. Come on, you gotta have a little gray to know BTO. Come on, you know, and I don't say that to freak the church out. I say that to you with a passionate plea as a pastor to say, get closer to God, learn the Bible, shut that TV off, shut them people off, and get in relationship with Him, because you're gonna have to know Him in these last days. You're gonna have to know when to go left, when to go right, when to go forward, when to go back. You're going to have to know what to do in these last days. Father God, we're going to know because you're going to teach us. You're going to show us, because you'll never leave us orphans. You'll never leave us alone. Your Bible, your word tells us that, and I'm so thankful. Father, so much information to give, but I thank you for truth and for leading us into all truth. Bless your people, Father God. Give us a great ending to this week. We look forward to Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I love you. I'll see you then. Be blessed.